Well, again, how many lovers of Jesus do we have in the house this morning? Jesus lovers. Man, he is so good. And so it is a new month. We have a new month, February 2nd, and it is a Super Sunday, and it has nothing to do with a game. But we serve a supernatural God. So we do celebrate that, and of course, for those that are into sports, of course, we know the events for tonight, so definitely, you know, enjoy, have fun with that, and so it's all good. Y'all good? Amen. Y'all ready? Yes. You ready to go higher? Yes. Yeah, let's go higher. So, again, this is something that we're just kind of just going to lay into. I realized that I didn't officially announce this because, you know, been dealing with God completing and finishing some things. But I shared with some of our leaders just what this was actually placed upon my heart in 2018. But for the year of 2020 specifically would just be a year that God is just it's just an above and beyond year. It's just an Ephesians 3:20 year. And of course, you know, in various translations, it reads differently. But I like in the Christian CSB, I forget exact Christian Standard Bible, it says, "Now unto him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us." And then it says this, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations." Yeah. Amen. Amen. And that's what it says. And so that's what we're going for. That's what is hard. And so the key thing in that text, in that scripture, it says this. Of course, we went last week. We talked about now unto him. But then as you continue on at that verse, it says, let me just go ahead and read it. "Who is able to do above and beyond." And then that above and beyond is connected to all that we ask or think. And so I specifically heard this, that God was just challenging me, but then also for word for all of us, is just to be able to deal with our mindsets. Deal with our mindsets and the way that we think, so that way it's higher, that it's enlarged, that we track. You know, God wants us to think big. God wants us to think big. So someone just make that personal. Say, God wants me to think big. Now, I want to deal with something. This is something that was, it was months ago, but I might share it a couple other times, but it was some revelation. And again, this might not apply to everybody, but it could apply to some. And then if it's not anyone in here, then it's someone that could be listening at a later point. So by all means, just take it, receive it, and then it's something that you can share with someone else. But when we're dealing with asking and thinking, it's very important that in this particular season that we're very mindful of what comes out of our mouths. What we speak, what we say is just important, it's critical. We do understand that words do have a very strong element of creative power, whether good or bad. But God says this. And so one thing that when I woke up this morning, I was doing some things, and then I saw my backyard. I saw, of course, it was fog, but then I saw the sun rising. And then we understand as the sun rises, it begins to burn away any mist. So anything that's hazy, anything that's misty, as the sun rises, it gets burned up. And so the thing is, we want to make sure that our speech and that our thinking is not cloudy in any format. There's a couple of different ways. I know this might not be some testimony, but this was mine. I used to use a whole bunch of profanity. I used to cuss a whole lot. And it started at the age of 8, and it had an 8-year tenure. And so, you know, I remember when I was 8 years old, I said my first cuss word. And then, you know, when as a kid, I was like, oh, I felt powerful. And then I just started cussing, and it was just terrible. You just imagine this little kid cussing left and right. And it got so bad. You know it's bad when you cuss and don't even realize that you're cussing anymore. It was just a part of my vernacular. It was a part of my vocabulary. But then I was in high school, and, you know, before classes started, you know, it was just this big common area. We were sitting out with my friends. And then I didn't realize it, but I was getting ready to say something. Then my friend said, "Oh," and I was like, "What?" Next thing around, it turned around. My mom was right behind me. She was like, "Hey, Scott," and I was like, "Oh, hey, mom." And then afterwards, I was acting to my friends. I was like, "Man, what were y'all all hyped? What were y'all so amped up about?" They was like, "Man, you was about to say the mother of all words, and your mom was just walking up on you." And this is how bad it was. I was like, "Man, I didn't even know it." I guess those were good friends in a sense, because but needless to say, at that moment, I was like, man, have I gotten that bad? And so it was a wake-up call. And then I realized that Scripture is gives us instructions as it pertains to our words. One, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says this: let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So again, I got to say this: let no corrupt word. So again, it's not even just profanity, but it talks about words that get corrupted. Because the enemy, and I'm going to explain why, because God just kind of opened this thing up. And I was like, man, this is just so insightful. But again, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. So our responsibility, whenever we go and whatever comes out of our mouth, it should impart grace. It should impart grace to the hearer. And then it says this, and I'll explain, you know, in just a little bit. In Ephesians, it's a bunch of Ephesians going on. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 through 4. And it says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. And then here's the other thing, verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talk nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And so, you know, because, you know, sometimes we often... sometimes you might hear people say, well, where does it say that at in the Bible? And then when you actually see it in the Bible, then you got a decision that you need to make. Because I remember I was younger. I was like, where does it say in the Bible that you can't cuss? And then I remember just kind of thumbing along, coming across some scriptures, and then it was like, oh. Not only not using obscenity, but then the Lord's like this, man, you can't even be joking around too roughly. You know those borderlines, and this is the thing, because sometimes, you know, we might see stuff and see comedians, and they're like, oh my gosh, they are so funny. I know I'm the only one that's ever experienced that, but you see some comedians that are like so funny, and their comedy and stuff is so, it's obscene. And they're using their gift to make people laugh, but it's a corrupt form. And so it got to the one point where, you know, you laugh, but then as you get more sensitive to the Lord, and then you kind of laugh, and then I just heard a whisper, God's like, yep, I'm not laughing. And it's like, ah. it's like, God, but that was funny. He was like, I need you to change your sense of humor. In other words, I need how you think now to be able to come up. Because the stuff that you think is funny, some of the jokes that are crude, that are rude, and some of the stuff that is not even just borderline, people just flat out cross borders. And some of the stuff that we know is like, man, because sometimes you get to laugh and like, what? Like, man, that ain't right. And then we know it. So God's like, hey, you know what? You're thinking. Even how we joke with one another, we can't do that. We can't do that. And so this is the thing that the Lord just kind of broke down to me. And I was like, I never thought about it, but it kind of popped in my mind out of the blue. He was just giving me some insight as it pertains to our thinking. And then even tactics of the enemy is like using words like hell and damn out of context. Because hell and damn has a context. But using words like hell and damn out of context puts it in the realm of the enemy's territory. Here we go. His method of operation is to take things out of context. That's what he does. He takes things out of context. He did it with scripture, even with Jesus. And so, again, he cons the text. Satan is a con artist. So he cons the text. So again, I'm going to say this again. Using words like hell and damn out of context puts it in the realm of the enemy's territory. His method of operation is to take things out of context because he cons the text. And then it was this, that's how things become cursed because it is outside of God's parameters of speaking. So it becomes a cursed word that shouldn't be spoken out of our lives. And so this is the other insight. Satan doesn't have your level of authority. That's powerful. In this earth realm, Satan does not have your level of authority that's been delegated to us, but he can gain access by what comes out of our mouths. So that's why he wants to make sure that he keeps us on a low ground, a low level of thinking and fighting on a low level, because that's all that he's about. You know, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And then even the serpent that, you know, he came, the serpent was cursed to his belly. So he's low. He's a defeated foe. And so, again, when we're in Christ, he does not have. I remember when my dad, you know, he worked for the Pentagon and he has certain security clearances. And then, I kind of joked around. I was like, Dad, is there some stuff that if you told me, I was like, could I die? And then he ain't saying nothing. I was like, oh, snap. I just kind of took his silence. But needless to say, he talked about, you know, the certain level of clearance and access. So all that to say this, we want to be mindful of what is speaking or what we're speaking or what comes out of our mouths in this season. Because there's things that God wants to do, even the stuff that we might casually say. And if something comes out of my mouth and he's like, well, Lord, I take that back. Please forgive me. God, I'll repent and bring that back so that way it doesn't start producing. Because here's the other thing. I didn't even put this down, but when the Lord was breaking this down to me, he was just opening this thing up. I was kind of like seeing how this stuff plays out and how words, you know, when we say stuff out of context, but what he says now, what those words, it gives permissions. It opens up doors for hell and damnation to start manifesting in some form or fashion in your life. And it's real. It's true. So that's why our asking and because that's connected. What we speak is connected to how we think. And so the input has to constantly be changed. And so what God is doing, I know he's setting the stage. He's actually set the stage. And he's, in a good sense, he's preparing us. He's setting us up so that way we can step into some larger things and think on a higher level. How many of y'all would just like to just step into just even some larger things? Yeah, whatever that might look like from God's definition. Larger realm of influence, larger territory, or even in our own selves having an increased capacity to be able to move and operate in the spirit. But this thinking, this mind is so key to this. This key. So someone just say, Lord, help my mind. I heard this powerful quote from Dr. Randy Clark, you know, because this is what we realize. There's talking that reflects our thinking, and then there's thinking that has a tendency to reflect our experiences. And so when you get exposed to new things, your thinking changes. It just changes. When you get exposed to something that's different, something that's new, something that's grand, you can't go back to thinking the way that you used to think. No small level of thinking. I've had the privilege and honor, of course, I share with my dad being in the military. And so I've had the opportunity to be able to see very different places across this world. And so now, anyone else traveled overseas, been overseas, whether for vacation, mission trip, or for whatever type of journey. And so you know, once you expose yourself to overseas experiences, it changes you. It changes how you think. It changes how you operate. And so now when you hear people say certain things, you realize, oh, man, you know what? You need to think broader. Like, don't think so limited. And so God wants us to take us into some larger territory so that way we don't think in just a limited capacity, because we actually do serve a limitless God. God is limitless. There's literally nothing that he cannot do. By the fact that he says, look, all things are possible to him who believes. But God's like, look, I don't have any limits. And that's a powerful thought. But then with that, I heard Dr. Randy Clark say this. This is powerful. He says, don't lower the word to the measure of your experience. Ask that your level of experience may come up to the word. meaning God's word. Because here's the thing, some things that we might read in scripture and then the thought will come across our mind, or sometimes it'll challenge us and then we wonder, it's like, man, is this still possible today? And some people might read it and be like, man, that ain't possible. And so what we start to do or can be tempted to do is now when somebody's speaking life to you, when somebody's speaking God's word to you, and then we can build up a wall and say, no, that's not true. That's not true. I don't receive this, or this isn't possible. And the reason why some people say that is because, man, you know what? I haven't experienced it yet. So don't lower what God says just because you haven't experienced it yet. What it is, we've been given an invitation to experience more. That's a part of the love of Jesus. That's one thing I told my wife, when we got married. I think I said it along these lines. I was like, babe, I'm going to show you the world. And that's one of them little, oh, ain't that sweet, type of things. And guess what? We've had an opportunity to be able to travel, the world in some sense, but there's more. There are some places that I've been that she hasn't been yet. And I'm like, God, Lord, I thank you for taking my experience that way we can do this together. And now, how many of y'all haven't traveled the world yet or been outside the borders of America, but you desire to go? Okay, just lift your hand high. Just lift your hand high. Just put in my heart just to pray right now. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, that you're just releasing passports. I heard something on that word, passport. I'm going to come back to that. Thank you, Lord. I'm kind of flowing with the Holy Ghost with this. I got some notes, but he was like, just flow with me today. God, so I thank you, Lord. Is this everybody? All these hands up? They haven't been? Okay, glory to God. Okay. And some are just like, look, I just want to go again. Okay, I got you. I got you. Well, shucks, let me put my hand up for that. God, but I thank you, Lord, for just a releasing of passports in the natural, God. But I thank you, Lord, that you just begin to place upon hearts, because some are going on the field to share your gospel. God, we know this for an absolute fact. Some have already seen it because you've shown them. God, so I thank you, Lord, right now that you're providing the resources. Yeah, that you're providing the resources. Okay, so I just heard that. Take the limits off that right there. Because some people, that could be like a hold up in the mind, just the resources. How am I going to get there? Lord, I know you called me. Lord, I know I want to do it. How am I going to get there? God's got this. God, so we thank you, Lord, for your limitless ability and your limitless resources. God, Lord, we think about it. So now we're asking, Lord, and now it's unto you. God, let faith be activated to be able to go overseas, some for missions, some to just enjoy, God, but this exposure is needed in Jesus' name, so that way they can never be the same. Amen. Yeah. And this is just me personally, I'm going to add, this year. Okay, so now going back to that, like I said, I heard something on that word passport, and so there's passports, because what it is, it gives you legal, first of all, it's part of your identity. It's part of your identity. So we do have passports in the kingdom that allow us to be able to cross any territories when we understand that. And so the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So that means this whole globe we have access to. Isn't it something how the Bible, Jesus says, the gates of hell can't stand against? So that means when the kingdom, when we show up, that means that the enemy cannot block what God wants to do. Y'all remember them demons that started crying out to Jesus? Lord, what are you doing here? Have you come here to torment? It's like, what are you doing here? Jesus is like, look, I can go wherever I want. What you mean, what am I doing here? Have you come here to torment us? He's like, okay, what do you want to do? Throw us in the pigs. He's like, all right, go. And then the pigs threw themselves. But all that to say this, Jesus was walking in the territory because he didn't have a limit in his thinking. So we can't be people, we don't want to be people, I just got this illustration, but we don't want to be people when we show up somewhere and demons like, what are you doing here? It's like, oh, shucks, I ain't supposed to be here, okay. And then we just turn around. And then we get scared. Oh, yeah, you're right. It's like, no. Sometimes it's good to ask, okay, Lord, what am I doing here? What's my assignment while I'm here? What's my assignment while I'm here? What's my assignment? Because some of y'all, some people might say this in a job negatively, like, oh my gosh, why am I in this job? Well, while you're there, what's your assignment? What's the assignment that needs to be done? Thinking got to come up. I just felt right now some people's like, oh, Lord, I ain't want to hear that. But you have an assignment that God wants to fulfill while we're there. So, again, the thinking, our perspective, that's part of coming up higher. That's part of our talk. So, again, we don't talk like everybody else talks. We don't do or think the way that everybody else thinks. Jesus gave this illustration as far as for just, and I've kind of looked at this differently, but he was talking about they were going to a wedding feast. And then he saw how people that were at the wedding feast, they wanted to take the good seats. And then Jesus said, hey, you know what? Talking to his disciples, look, don't be like them. He's like, what you want to do is be able to take the seat that might be further or take the seat that that doesn't seem like to be the good seat. So that way, when the person who's over the wedding feast can see you, and when they do see you, they say, hey, friend, come up higher. That's the Luke 14:10. So we have that invitation to be able to come up higher, to be able to come up higher today. And so we're going to get to our main scripture in just a little bit. But again, we have this invitation to come up higher. Ephesians 2, just as a reminder for all of us, 4 through 7. And it says, but God who is rich in mercy, I'm reading from the New King James, but God who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So where are you seated? You are seated in heavenly places. So heavenly places dictates that we have heavenly thoughts. And heavenly speaking, heavenly thinking. So again, I can't emphasize this enough, but it's like, God, I thank you, Lord, that you're beginning to cause my mind to be able to be elevated, to be able to think on a higher realm. So what that means is when you see stuff at a surface level or you see things in the natural, it's almost like, y'all remember that movie, The Matrix? That first one, and so what Neo did, it came to a point, he got to such a level to where he was able to see beyond what he was seeing. And I'll never forget that scene where the bullets were flying at him. And then he just put his hand out and said, hey, you know what? No. Stop the bullets. Not saying that in the physical, but stop the bullets. And then he started seeing what was behind, what was operating, what he saw in the physical. And started seeing these codes and these numbers. And then he just took the little bullet, dropped it, looked at the rest of the bullets, was like, huh. Then all the other bullets fell. And then once he started looking like at the enemies that shot at him, they were like, they backed up because they realized, oh, he's thinking on another level. Yes. Yes. He's thinking on another level. And then what happened was some other people, they were like, oh, my gosh, how did he do that? How did he do that? Nobody's ever done that before. And then the other person that was saying this was because he's the one. In other words, that he's been chosen. And so God chose you. He chose me. He says, hey, friend, come on up. Come on up. I'm inviting you because the whole while, because God wants to be able to do exceedingly. He wants to go above and beyond that you ask or think. But then some of the stuff, and it's challenging, but it's from the heart of love. He was like, man, some of the stuff you've been asking and thinking about has just been too small. Some of the things, even though we know everything is in him, but it's like, man, some stuff you actually can do. He's like, I've given you an ability. She's like, why are you asking me for this? Oh, my goodness. This even goes back to the Old Testament. I thought Moses would have been okay. But then remember when Moses was at the waters, the Red Sea, and then Moses was like, God, the Egyptians are coming. What are we going to do? And God's talking to Moses. Why are you asking me? What's in your hand? So that's part of that stretching out. Thinking totally different, even about yourselves. Even about yourselves, the thinking has to be different. It's like, God, help me to see me in the renewed fashion, in a sense, the way that you see me. Because sometimes we think about ourselves too small, and so we just stay in a small place. In other words, that there's more. We find this. Encourage someone right now, just say, come up higher. Come up higher.
Come up higher, Pastor Sir Walt.
Come up higher. Got to. Got to. You know, I personally have an advantage of some things when I go to certain events, because, or parades or anything of that nature, because I don't have to look for somewhere to stand. Not that I'm super tall, but at 6'3", I think I'm 6'3", yeah, 6'3", 6'4", somewhere in between there. At 6'3", 6'4", you know, it's quite a bit that I can actually view. And so it's coming up higher. So now, but here's the thing, though. This is what I realize. When I stand on something, and then when I look down, on some occasions, especially when I've been upon roofs and whatnot, when I've looked down actually being higher, it's like, oh, Lord, I don't even want to look. Because you can be up so high, then you're just like, man, because then the thought comes, that's a long way to fall. That's one reason why, just a personal note, one reason why I have challenges with roller skating. Because I'm like this, it's like, man, that's a long fall. That's a long fall, because I don't have my share trying to, you know, roller skate. I'm looking like a giraffe or whatever, and then I'm skating, and it's like, bam! It's like, see, that's why I don't really want to do this, because I'm all... But at the same time, this is what God is challenging us, because sometimes, you know, God will show us some things about ourselves at a level of higher influence in another capacity. But then it's like, nope, I'm going to shrink back. God, I don't want to go that high. Or I don't want to go that far. Or Lord, I don't see myself doing that. And God's like, yeah, but I see it. And so it's a wonderful invitation. Hey, man, come up higher. It's a different perspective. I'm going to ask my daughter, Victoria, can you just come on up? Can you come up to the front? Can we just give her a hand as she comes? As you can tell, this is my child. This is my child. But what it does, it changes the seat from just being, if you use this illustration, for just being, quote unquote, like everybody else. You see things when you stand up here. Do you see from a different perspective? You see from a different perspective. So you see, you get a full scope of what's going on. And so God wants us to see this even from a greater sense. It's all about knowing his ways, knowing his heart. And so she's got a prophetic leaning and a prophetic, you know, a gifting as well that's being nurtured and developed. Amen. Is there anything you see right now? Oh, yes. Yeah, say what you see right now.
An army just marching, like, towards a different level. Like a door, and they're just, like, walking through the door.
Mm. Yeah. Can you say that again? Did everyone hear that? Okay, so can you say it again? Yeah.
So it's an army that's walking on a path, and then there's a door, and they're just walking through the door.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So she sees an army. But that's what she saw when she looked out. So as an army. So I guess with this message also, that there's promotion. That's part of that coming up. There's promotion right now that God's saying, hey, you know, I need you to prepare. Because this is one thing that I realized, my dad as an officer couldn't think like everybody else. Couldn't think like everybody else. He had a different clearance, and he had a certain training and promotion. He was a colonel. And actually what they really wanted to do, he was next up to be a general, but he was like, man, you know, I've put in my years. you know, he got a little tired. But to say all that, to say this, and I've shared this before, but for his promotion, they had to develop his thinking. So they sent him to literally in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, to War College. So that way he can think from a different level. And this is what God wants to do. So there was one level where you kind of think where you're just on the ground, right? And you're just carrying out orders and things of that nature, which is fine. But at his level, he had to think from a strategic standpoint. As far as for just positioning men so that way victory can be able to take place. They trained him about strategies and maneuvering and position. So his whole thinking had to be adjusted and readjusted. And it was years because at the time, you know, he wasn't even living in Pennsylvania. We were in Virginia. So he would have to travel to go get trained and developed in War College. And then I remember coming up, I think I was in college, but we came up and celebrated, you know, his graduation. But then after his thinking changed, that's when some additional promotions and access clearances were released to him. Why? Because there was a greater stewardship, a greater understanding of what the government required or the army. And you know, we are an army. We're a family and we're an army. And so what it is our thinking has to be totally different. Our thinking has to be totally different. And here's the thing. You might not feel like it or not, but guess what? You are an officer in the spirit realm.
That's right.
And here's some of the things that you command. Words. Jesus and the Roman centurion. It's like, hey, you know, my servant is sick. And Jesus is like, hey, I'll come and heal him. The servant said, hey, you know what? I don't even want to trouble you. I don't even want to trouble you. He's like, look, I'm a man and I'm an officer. I understand what it's like to have soldiers underneath me. And so wherever I say for them to go, they go. Whatever I tell them to do, they do. All I need you to do is just say the word. Just declare healing and I know it'll be taken care of. So the same way for us now, even with the words, and this is the thing that I'm starting to see take place and happen more and more, that God is starting to show. He's like, certain things that, you know, we say or certain things that we pray, and then sometimes I forgot about it, but then you see the manifestation. The Holy Spirit was like, hey, remember when you said that? Remember when you prayed that? I was like, oh, wow. That's right. But what's been happening is, you know, I've been investing. It isn't even just spending. But I've been investing a whole lot of time in his presence. Because that's where it's key. And I've been feeling, even physically feeling a difference. There's certain things that I've been asking. I'm like, God, stir me up. And guess what God does? He's like, oh, I'm going to exceed that. But this is some stuff that I never thought about before. Some things because he's like, but hey, but I want you to experience because I'm asking for more. Like, I want to experience more. And so my thinking is changing. It's like, oh, and I'm starting to think certain stuff you look at, it's like, oh, God, nothing is impossible. Certain stuff that you get presented with, certain stuff that we might have to deal with, just even in our home front, financially. It's like, okay, yeah, we need this. Like, how are we going to get it? I don't know that yet, but I'm going to commission some words right now. I'm going to release some words. God, I understand that you're a provider. So we find scripture, and then we declare that scripture, and then I'm like, whew, now unto you, God. Lord, any wisdom that we need to take place will take place. Any resources that need to come in, whatever that needs to be done, God, I thank you, Lord, that you're now beginning to expand my thinking to be able to see things differently. Some of you have means of provision that you walk by every day. But because our thinking, because we don't see it as such, then it kind of just, that potential lays dormant. But some of the talent, some of the gifting, some of the ability that you'd be like, oh, you know, it's just, I just kind of do this just natural. It's just kind of what I do. No, that's valuable. It's worth something. But we got to see it. So God wants to open our eyes to some things. There's a scripture we're familiar with, but I think it'd be good to see in Numbers chapter 13. Again, this is dealing with some mindset, dealing with some thinking, but this is something that we're familiar with. But I do believe that there's promotion and God. God wants to move us into some new things. So now this is the children of Israel getting ready to and getting prepared to enter into the promised land. And so they had actually walked the land. This is something that God promised them, right? God promised them. And so they have already walked. They spied out the land. And they said and they saw that it was flowing with milk and honey. I don't even know what that looks like, but that's got to be some good looking land. It's like, man, indeed, this land is flowing with milk and honey. And then the Bible says that they brought back clusters of fruit, clusters of grapes. But then the grapes are so large. We know the grapes that we see today that are in our hands. But the grapes were so large that it took men to carry them. It's like they had to put a cluster on a stick. So it's like one person here, and then we carrying these grapes. This is what God has promised. He's like, look, I'm promising you so much that you're going to need help. Some people see that right now. It's like, man, some stuff. It's like, God, I need help. God, I need help. So somebody, let's just say this. Just say, Lord, send help. Now, here's the key. The help that you want sent has to be the right kind of help. It has to be the right kind of help that thinks on a certain level. You know what I've realized? Some people, you know, because some people, they will tell you who they are and tell you how they think by what comes out of their mouths. And then sometimes it's like when you hear people say stuff, I know sometimes it's like, man, I don't even want to say nothing because it's like, where is this conversation going to go? Is this even worth my time engaging in a conversation right now? And so for me in particular, I'm not the most loquacious, the most talkative person anyway, so I'm very mindful of my words. I've learned over the years how to be mindful. But again, you want to make sure that you have people that have the right kind of thinking, that have the right kind of mindset, because it's like, look, if we're going to go together, then we got to make sure that we understand that God is able to do this. So I don't need you, if God is showing me something and I begin to talk it, I don't need you to talk differently. I don't need you to talk down. And so we find this here, and it says, then Caleb, because there was a bunch of commotion going on about the report that the spies, when they spied out the promised land, they were coming back with a report. And so you have two different voices going on. And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. What a great statement. That right there indicates a mindset. Because they were concerned, because when the cluster of grapes being so large, then you know that it was large people that was eating those grapes. It was large people eating those large grapes. And so you can only imagine, you got these spies walking through the land, and then they hear, boom, it's like, what? Boom, and so, you know, they kind of high, and they kind of peek through bushes. I'm like, what in the world? I'm sure they had to hold somebody's mouth. Don't say nothing. Like, that's a person. So I can only imagine how big these people were, giants in the land. And so you got some people on the way back with the clusters. Some is like, Lord, I don't want none of that. I don't want no smoke. I don't want a piece of that. But I'm just imagining Caleb and Joshua's mindset. It's like, man, did you see them giants? Oh, my gosh, they're going to fall like crazy. Are you kidding me? It's like, man, we can't wait to tell Moses when we get back. Like, man, this land is just right for us, man. Did you see that honey? Some were talking about honey and milk. The others were talking about giants. Oh, my gosh, you see them giants? Man, the land is so big. Man, I wish we were still in Egypt. You got this kind of going on the way back. Spies saw the same thing, but saw differently because of how they thought. So now when they get before Moses, Caleb was like, shh, yo, chill out. Let us go up at once. It's like, look, we don't even need a big strategy. Let's go. Let's just take this. The strategy is God. The strategy is what he said. He said, this is ours, so we're going to take it. For we are well able. Amen. Again, I'm 6'3". I'm sure giants were at least this height of the speaker, if not bigger. But looking at him, it's like, man, yeah, we well able. Well able. We're well able to overcome it. But verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we.
And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we had gone as spies is a land that devour its inhabitants. Meaning, look, this is huge. We're not big enough for this land. And all the people whom saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Guess what? They never had a conversation with the giants. They never had a conversation with the giants to say, hey, we're small. And the giants are like, yeah, you are small, grasshopper. That was never the case. They saw the giants, and then they reflected. It's like, man, they're giants, so that must mean that we're small. And because we're small, man, we got to be real small in their sight. They said the land, it devours its inhabitants. I mean, it's like, look, we're just from the children of Israel. We just coming from Egypt and all that. We can't go into this big land. We can't do this. But that's exactly what God wants to do. Okay, so let's bring this into the natural. Some of y'all have seen yourself living in a certain type of dwelling place. Oh, it got quiet. But it's possible. It's possible. And guess what happened? It's possible. Oh, come on. I know we've got a couple of living witnesses that we see every Sunday, every week, from God taking from one place. And then here, going from one place, a small place, and next thing you know, you step into, boom, big. And here's the thing that the Lord was just sharing with me, even this morning. I was like, God, I never knew that. I never heard it. But he just reminded me. He's like, hey, you know what? Jesus never taught his disciples steps. He's like, he never taught them in steps. Like one, two, three. And then as soon as because, you know, when God says something and then I ask a question, it's because he really wanted to get to a main point. And then I just ask in my heart, I was like, God, how come? He was like, because rivers don't have steps. It's a flow. It's a flow. So now this is why, because these people got, because we start thinking, it's like, well, man, this step needs to come and this step needs to come. And in some cases, that's okay. There's not knocking that. But I'm saying in this time, in this age, in this time to come, God's like, look, I'm not teaching you in steps. I need you to learn how to flow with me in the spirit. I need you to know how to move as I move. So now what will happen is you'll come to a point and you'll see the promised land and you'll see where you came from and be like, I'm supposed to go from here to here. Hold up. Isn't there another step? Lord's like, no. Like, it ain't another step. Just flow. What I need you to do is to step into the flow. That's the step. That's the step that I need you to take. I need you to step into the flow. I needed to step into how I'm flowing, into how I'm moving. But then that's like, God, okay, so now I need to start thinking the way that you're thinking. I need to get in your current. God, I'm telling you, and I don't even fully, but I know something, that God is up to something that's going to literally blow your minds and blow our minds to where people, because now what it has to happen is, oh, thank you, Lord. Because what people will want to do is try to duplicate in their own means. Okay, you did that step. You did that step. And then it's, because then what they do is in their mind, they factor out God. It's like, okay, yeah, so you did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. God wants to do something where you go from 1 to 100, and then people have to ask, how did that happen? I'm so glad you asked. Well, so tell me what practical steps. It's like, oh, one of them practical in this. Yeah. I took one step, and next thing you know, bam, I just stepped in. I just some things just kind of open up. So now he's saying, because this is why he's dealing with mindset, because I just believe and know that he's going to do something that you're going to have to be wondering, how in the what? You're going to be walking around just like, whoa. Like, this is, And this is what we say. This is what will happen. One of those type of experiences that says, Lord, this is more than what I asked for. Amen. It's like, yes! That's Ephesians 3:20. That's how I want you to live. But now let's get back so that way your mind, let's develop, let's train, let's do some training. Just keep coming up. Keep coming up. But some of y'all are seeing a difference. Like, Lord, I'm thinking differently. Yay. And how you're thinking differently is because of the word. This ain't on our own ability, but staying in scripture, staying in his presence, praying in the spirit. I mean, I'll share this. I'm not saying that anybody has to do this, but I know I felt the grace again, because there was a period where I would get up a certain time in the morning and I had to rest. But then I felt the Lord tap me on the shoulder and it's like, hey, I need you to get up in the morning again. I was like, oh, if he's asking, I know there's grace to do it. But then this has been real good, getting up very early in the morning. And here's the thing, my alarm goes off, I hear one beep, and I'm up, cut it off, and I'm out to bed. Very early in the morning. But his grace is there, so what I'm doing, I begin praying in the spirit. Or sometimes I'll read, there'll be some moments where I'm worshiping. Guess what, I'm in the bathroom. And God's just showing up. I mean, it's already a great place to get clean anyways, right? I'm not showering at the moment, but symbolically speaking. So what it is, though, is building. Oh, it's building. That's why some stuff, it's like, oh, Lord. Because it was supposed to be my workout time that I had in schedule, but I realized, oh, I am working out. That's like, that's why I've been feeling his presence more, and the stuff has been getting stronger. And it's like, ooh, and here's the thing. I've been loving it. It hasn't been a chore. It's like, God, this is good. But as a soldier, it's like, oh, no. He's like, yeah. He's like, I even need you to think higher because, look, everybody's got to come up. So now let's make this even personal. We talk about the children of Israel, but then even for us as a body, as a local fellowship, our thinking. Can God put us in a large place? Put us in a place or because this is what I remember being a part of one fellowship, one ministry that we were a part of. I'll finish with this. You know, they were in a building project, and then once they got into their new sanctuary, the first Sunday, people were kind of like, it was a little difficult for them to enter into praise and worship. And even the pastor came out. He's like, what's going on, y'all? Because they skip steps. You go from a small sanctuary to a school to bam, 62,000 square feet. The sanctuary that it came from before was maybe 3,000 square feet. That's big, isn't it? Even for, again, just making it even personal, for a home, it's like, well, man, you know what? Because this is just being personal. I remember going, you know, just visiting stuff at, you know, when we were in Texas. Not saying that we were moving there, but because I've traveled, that I like to see, okay, what are these nice houses? I wonder how much they go for. And you see what these big houses go for. And then I come back and look at home and then look at for a house. And I'm like, because there's a house right on our street that isn't that big at all. But because we're in media, it is $500,000. And I was like, for 2,000 square feet worth of house? And then in the natural, it's like, oh, man, maybe we need to go way out there. But then it was like, God's like, what you thinking about? He's like, is it possible? Come on now. Because for me personally, it's like, Lord, you know what? I don't want to drive that far. I And so we look at some of the houses that are in this area, and then I'm like, oh man, that's nice. And then I go on Zillow, and then I'm like, $700,000 for this? Am I going to be like, $700,000 for this? Am I going to shrink before a figure? Or God's like, hey, look, I need you to come up. What is $700,000? He's like, what is it really? He's like, no, son, break it down. Okay, it's 700,000. 0.00 if you add the cents. See, he said, that is nothing to me. So now when, and here's the thing, he's like, son, you've been in a big house before. It's like you've been there. It's like, why are you going to shrink now just because it's a much bigger number? It ain't fair. How come houses are just cheaper? That's why some people just move it and ain't even called to move just to go down south because housing is cheaper. The cost of living. It's like, look, I don't need you to go down. I need you to come up. So it's the thinking, it's the stretching. He's like, so what is this number? It's like, Lord, it's just a number. It's not something that it's like, oh, going way down. It's that thinking. It's pretty good, isn't it? The thinking, it's like, God, Lord, I got it. I don't think that was a good enough salute. That was a little sloppy. Let me try to do this again. There's promotion. Like, yep, God, I need to come up. He's like, yeah, so I just need to start talking. Just start talking and just kind of start building that faith. Start talking. Some people are scared to just go to a certain neighborhood. It's like, man, no. Oh, this is one other thing. The Lord said, I want you to get your hopes up. This is why some people, because the enemy will try to frustrate, well, man, this didn't happen, or I really wanted this. Well, I don't even want to believe or trust God because I don't want to get my hopes up. And God's like, no, 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 no. I want you to get your hopes up. Up is where you're seated. If you're hoping in me, if your hope is in me and you're seated in me in heavenly places, that means that your hope is always here. So you don't come down from that. Someone just say, I will keep my hopes up. I think I need to plow through that just a little bit more because, you know, there's layers to that. There's layers of walls of experiences, of low experiences that God's got to break through with that word. He's like, no, I'm bringing you up. Your thinking has to come up. Experiences, you're asking, all of it is coming. Because trust me, you got new experiences. You might have, some might have a history of just low and frustration. Trust me, I got stories for that too. And experiences of that, but those do not outweigh what God has done and then even the more that he wants to do. What is a student loan debt? You look at that number, how am I going to get this? And then it's like, man, you know what, God, this is just a number. Thinking differently. And then in that, your circle changes. I'll finish with this last thought. The Bible says this. God said this about Caleb, because after Caleb made this statement, he was talking with Moses. He's like, look, Moses, all them other folk, the rest of them people that were thinking about themselves and thinking about the giants and not about me and what I said, they are not going to go into the promised land. But this is what he made. This is what is so powerful. But he said, but my servant Caleb. He's talking to Moses, who is his servant. And we know Moses was a servant, but he was talking to Caleb. Caleb didn't have a position or a title. But God said, but my servant Caleb, he has a different spirit. He has a different spirit. And he, his household, him and Joshua, they're going to walk in this thing. Amen. So who do you want to be? Who are we going to be? We can't be like, oh, man, this is so hard. This is so tough. It's like, no, we are well able. God, whatever you say, whatever needs to get done, man, let's go up at once. Let's do this. It's possible. All things are possible. Let's stand. This is just ground one. Just dealing with thinking, just dealing with the mindset. But I'm telling you, there's going to be such a transformation. There's going to be such a change. Oh. And so Victoria said that, and what God showed her was she looked out and saw an army. And it was an army that was marching. It was an army that was marching through the door. Through the door, an army that was marching through the door. Someone just march right now, just while you're in place right now. Just kind of march. I know it seems a little silly, but it's significant by the fact that we're marching, because this is what was seen. It was an army that. Oh, I like that sound. Matter of fact, just stomp your feet a little bit as you march a little bit. Yeah, this sound is doing something. I know it sounds silly, but this is significant. This is. Oh, two, three. Okay, I just saw this. Keep marching. For those that served in our United States Army, can you please come forward? For those that served in our United States Army that have served in our armed forces, doesn't even have to be Army, but if you served in the armed forces, being in armed forces, because this is what they did. This is what they had to do early in the morning. This is what I remember my father doing. It's like, lift, lift. Lift, right, lift, 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 right, lift, lift. They don't even say lift, it's like lift, 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 right, lift. Yeah, and so they're doing this. And so what this sound means, keep making that sound, keep marching. Because what it is, even with your sound is going before you. This sound is going before us, it's even into new territories. It's saying, hey, we're stepping even into a new level of thinking. We're stepping into a new level of asking. We're leaving where we've been before, and we're going into new territory. We're going into new territory in the spirit, in our minds. We're going up higher. We are going up higher. We are going up higher. And so as we're marching, what's happening now? Doors are beginning to open. That's what I believe. That was a vision that she just saw and just spoke out. So doors are beginning to open, doors of favor, doors of opportunity. And I just so believe could very well be doors of places of dwelling and being as we march forward. Oh, this is a good sound. This is a strong sound. Now just close your eyes and just as you're still marching, close your eyes. And just picture the army. Do y'all see this army? Y'all see this army? In sync, together, unified. Somebody just say right now, on the count of three, we're going to say we are well able. On the count of three. Let's go, soldiers. On the count of three, we're going to say we are well able. Let me march. Left, okay. Left, left, right, left. One, two, three, we are well able. Now let's shout unto God for that right there.